It's good to be here tonight. How are you glad we're here tonight? So wonderful to be a Christian and to know that the Lord loves us, that He's with us, and to know that some of you really love the Lord. You know, there's not a lot of people that's going to be in the bride of Christ. It's not a lot of them. But there are some. He is going to have a bride. A bride without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. She's going to be the most gorgeous, the most beautiful thing. There'll never be anything like her. And her light will be most precious. She will be a glow like the noonday, the brightness of the noonday. The Bible speaks of even the woman as reference to Israel, the woman standing on the moon. How that the Bible said she was clothed with the brightness of the sun, the noonday. And Christ's bride is going to be so lovely, so beautiful. There'll be nothing that will compare to the bride of Christ throughout heaven. Because she will be one with the Son of God. Whatever He is, that's what she will be. And in that He is the brightness of the glory of God to the extent that even on the mountain with Moses and Elijah, the Bible said His raiment glistened. So she will be one with Him. She will be eternally beautiful, radiant, youthful, strong, rich, powerful, with the greatest glory that there has ever been given, even His glory. She is one with Him in His glory. Father, give these the same glory I had with Thee before the world ever was. And so then we, as I've said so many times, the Bible says that He will not give His glory to another, but in that we are not another, He has very freely given His glory to us. Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with Thee before the world ever was, the Bible says. So He hath given us His glory. And this is so wonderful. How are you glad to be here tonight? Let me just kind of chat with you just a minute or two before David gets back. Now, we've had quite a turnover in this meeting. As a matter of fact, the first night or so, we had quite a number of people that I've never seen before. They might have known us, been in our ministry somewhere, but I've never known them, I don't guess. They were here, and they seem to have had a real good time. I want to say again that this tent sitting here has great significance. There's a great meaning in this tent sitting here. You know, we as little mortals, just finite beings, we can't fathom the greatness of God except through the mind of the Lord Jesus. And we are so wrapped up, as one would say, in the things of the world, and we're so moved by the things of the world, the convenience of life, and having the things of the world, that we don't have much time to pray, to fast, to study, to seek God. And our life is in general spent in this world. Where someone would say, well, Brother Pike, it would be somebody would have to be eccentric to think that you could spend it anywhere else as a human being. Well, that's something perhaps that they'd take a little time to talk about there before we'd understand that you can spend it somewhere else. Whereas the Bible says that if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father isn't there. The love of the world is automobiles, land, houses, your own personal appearance and body, physique, family, children, wife, all these things, they are things of the world. And God hath permitted that you have a wife, children, automobiles, cars. These things are necessitated to life. And He has arranged it so that you can have these things. He doesn't care if you have cars, flocks of, well, you can't say flocks of cars, but have cars like Abraham had flocks of sheep or cattle. He doesn't care how many cars you have. He doesn't care how many houses you have. He doesn't care how much money you have. You can have $1 billion. He doesn't care. See, he has given it all to us anyway. All the gold and silver is ours. It's his, and he's given it to us. So he doesn't care. See, he doesn't care. He doesn't care if you're strong and healthy and young and ready to go, you know. He doesn't care. He likes for you to be full of life. But there's one thing that he hath forbidden. And that is that any child of God should love the things of the world. If you have the love of the world in you, then the love of the Father isn't there. So then he's forbidden that you love these things. You can have these things and you can use these things. And the Bible said a wise man's substance is precious unto him. That is, he isn't going to abuse it. He's going to take care of it. He's going to keep it. He's going to see that the upkeep to it is right. The maintenance, taking care of it, caring for it. Because he's wise, he knows it, that he has to use it, not only for this natural life, but the Bible said, honor the Lord with your substance. The first fruits of your increase, so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with the new wine. A lot of people don't have plenty because they don't honor the Lord with it. They don't have plenty of strength. They don't have plenty of life. They shorten their life by their disobedience. And they don't have long life or abundance of life. Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Life. I've come that you might have life and that more abundant, which means filled up and overflowing. David said, my cup runs over. But they don't have this because they don't honor God with it. Their mind is on buying and selling and riding and fellowshipping, doing all the things that pertain to the natural and giving their strength to the passions of the body or to the egos of life. And because of this, the Bible said, asking God and asking amiss to consume it on their own lust, they don't get a refurbishing and they don't get the desires of their heart and they don't get the things that you can have. It isn't that God doesn't want us to have them. It isn't that God cannot give them to us. The Bible said, my hand is not short that it cannot reach you. My ear is not dull that it cannot hear prayer. It said, but thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God and hath kept thee back from good things. But if you'll delight yourself in me, he said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. If you'll walk upright before me, you shall lack no good thing. For I'm the one that give thee the power to get wealth. And my blessing maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. I will give thee the desires of thine heart, make thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. Feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. My blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. So then we can see that it is because of man that there is problems. Isn't that amazing? Man spends all of his life getting bitter toward God and blaming God for all the problems. And yet it is a positive proof. When you thoroughly examine the thing, you cannot find one thing that God has done wrong. No one thing that God has done unto man to hurt man. All that he's ever done was to help man, to try to find man when he was lost, try to bring him back to the blessings that he might have life filled up and overflowing. Not one thing has he ever done that ever caused man a problem. But it is a true fact that man has done nothing but cause God problems. Everything man's ever done except to worship God has caused God problems. And even for man to be able to worship God, it cost Jesus Christ, his son, the Father's son, his death at Calvary. So then man is one big mistake. He's just one big problem. He says such a mistake that the Bible said after God had created him, looked down and saw that the whole earth was filled with violence because of men. It repented God in his heart that he ever made a man. And we could say a whole lot in Revelation about that, of why he allowed him to go on after that. But I'm just saying that you have problems tonight. You have sicknesses. You have troubles. You run into all kind of problems because of you and your iniquities and your shortcomings and being unlearned and not knowing properly what to do. And being self-willed is to not to take the time to learn. So you continue in the ignorance that causes you problems, your children problems, and God problems. The Lord said that if you want to see long life and good days, refrain your tongue from speaking evil. Don't let it speak guile. And do the right things, the things that I want you to do, Jesus said. And if you do, he said, it shall be well with you and with your children all the days of your life. So then there's something to this wonderful thing called salvation and the Word of God. All right, so we're going to read tonight from the second chapter of the book of James in the 20th verse, if you've got your Bibles. Just a little verse here. But will thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, this seems kind of strange that I would start talking about works after last night. I think I convinced you that you didn't have to have any. And now here I come back tonight, and I'm going to start preaching about works. It's like a preacher, you know, he tells you one night he don't take personal offerings, and the next night to take an offering for him. Let's give the Lord a hand. And folks get all mixed up. But it works out. Over a period of time, it works out. So then let me clear something up as we start off here. First of all, I preach to you that it's not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. Paul said, if it be of works, then I have somewhat to boast of. But if it be not of works, I don't have anything to boast of. Because God has given it to me, and that freely, of his own works and of his own efforts. In that God worked 6 days, rested on the seventh, he hath beckoned unto you and I that we should enter into his rest. And seeing that they that came out of Egypt did not enter into the rest, therefore the Bible says there remaineth a rest for God's people. And that we should fear to the extent that we should reverence God, the fear of God, lest we come short of entering into that rest. For if those people did not enter into the rest, then there is a rest for God's people. And I want to take part in that rest. The Bible says they shall rest from their labors. So then, Paul emphatically tells us that with this salvation, with this wonderful thing called Christianity, Christ-like, first called Christians at Antioch because they were Christ-like, no one deserves the title of being a Christian unless they're Christ-like. But Paul tells us that this wonderful salvation, we'll take it like that, that it has come to us from God and that it doesn't need any work. So he speaks of faith. And he says, faith, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, in this faith needeth no works. It needeth no works. For it is just faith and no works at all. As to your works and my works. So he says that this faith doesn't need any work. What kind of faith is he speaking of? Is he thus speaking of my faith and your faith? Or is he speaking of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible said, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. The faith of Jesus Christ, by which ye are sanctified. Therefore, this faith of Jesus Christ needing no work. Paul, being a Jew, he numbered himself with the Jews, saying that, and we were under the law, or we were under tutors, until the time appointed of the Father. And then after this law, or this tutoring,
there came forth something, and the Bible called it the faith. Said, and we were shut up under the law unto the faith, the faith which afterwards should appear. We were shut up under the law unto the faith which afterwards should appear unto us. And so when Calvary came, the faith appeared. For Jesus the Christ came with that faith that was sufficient to secure us in the eyes of God and make us what we are today by virtue of his own works. So then, the faith came, where the Bible uses the term, that we are under tutors until the time appointed to the Father, which is called the Bar Mitzvah. The Bar Mitzvah of the Jews, around 12 or 13 years old, the Bar Mitzvah. See, when you come to the Bar Mitzvah, the Jew is then counted a son, one of authority, one that can take control, one that can be about his father's business. As Jesus, know ye not that I must be about my father's business at that age? See, so we see that we are shut up under the law unto the faith. Someone would say, Brother Pike, the law ended at Calvary. I know it did for everyone that believeth. But the thing is, the Bible said if any man hath fallen from grace, he is under the law and shall be judged by the law. Those people out in the world, they've never come to this faith that I'm speaking of. Therefore, they are still in darkness as to intellectual ignorance. And Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. They are ever learning, polished scholars, school teachers, professors, great men of learning. But their eyes never come open. They never see when good comes. They are in ignorance. They are shut out into the darkness. But we are children of light. And that means understanding. So then we know what's happening. We understand God's word. I say this again. Some people say you don't have to understand. All you have to do is believe. I don't mean this against anybody that would say that because they had their reasons. And they could have been speaking of a particular thing that I don't know about. But it is sheer ignorance to teach that. Because there's no way that you can believe unless you understand. If you do not understand, you are in trouble. For the Bible said the wicked will not understand, but the righteous will understand. So then you might make a reference as to not understanding but believe. It might be that you can't understand the full depths of a thing or the greatness of it in that the mystery of God is so great. But you must understand the plan of salvation. And you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you cannot believe unless you understand the plan of salvation. So then, it is true that the law is over at Calvary. For everyone that believeth, the law is ended. It is gone. It is folded up. It is laid away. And you are not under the law. This is why that I preach to you that you cannot sin. So then it is true that the law is gone, and this is why that I tell you that you cannot sin. I say unto you, I say that you cannot sin. You cannot sin because you are not under the law. Why is it that you cannot sin? Because sin is the transgression of the law. And the Bible said, where there is no law, there is no transgression. So if sin is the transgression of the law, and where there is no law, there is no transgression, then that means there is no sin. And if there is no sin, then there is no death. Because the sting of death is sin. And if there is no sin, there is no sting. That is, there is no sin. And if there is no sin, there is no sting. For sin is the sting of death. And if there is no sin, there is no death. That's why I tell you that you pass from death unto life.
Did you know that the average Pentecostal person in the world today, which is the cream of the crop, which knows more than Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Catholics, or anybody, did you know that those same Pentecostal people hardly know anything about God or the move of God or the message of God? And that's why they shout and dance and do all those things all the time. Whereas it's good to shout and dance, that's good. Praise the Lord in the dance. Praise Him in the shout. Dance before Him with all of your might. But folks, the Bible said, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. There's a time for all things. And there's a time to be still, to set still. To be still and know that I'm God. Not to be uptight, as the world says. To be relaxed, but concentrate, as David said earlier. Concentrate on what's being said, because it is Almighty God speaking to you. It is not a minister. The Bible said it shall not be him speaking, but God speaking from within his temple, and all the world keep silent. And to give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. Seeing that the angel received a just recompense of reward for every transgression, how shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? Under the law, they died by the mouth of two or three witnesses. They were condemned. How much sorer punishment shall ye be thought worthy that trampled the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ under your feet and count it an unholy thing? So then, getting back to our message, Paul said, I'm a preacher and a teacher. And I like to teach the church. Because as I said the other night, you go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. Because they don't know anything about God. And you use simple parabolic speech, illustrations, something that's happened in your lifetime, testimonies, to get the people's attention. And then you cause them to be convicted of heart and they repent of their sins. And they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and they're saved. And as they go on, God fills them with His Spirit, with the Holy Ghost. But when it comes to the church, great is the mystery. And God is trying to tutor us, to give us this mystery, that we may be translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, transformated into the wonderful sonship of God, giving us this understanding, not to make us a son of God, but because, beloved, ye are the sons of God, John said, then he would have this mind to be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that ye be a son in the fullness, or that we all, as sons of the family, have but one mind, and that's the mind of the Heavenly Father. Every child that's born into the world, they come as to the mind of their own father, you know, and that's what God is wanting to the God family. So then we find that, getting back to the original thought now, the original theme of our thought, we find that if there is no law, then there's no transgression. If there's no transgression, then there is no sin. If there is no sin, then there is no death. So then you have passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. That's why the Bible said, condemn not thyself over the things which thou allowest. That is when you stumble. When I preach to you the Word of God. For the Bible said, he that God sendeth shall speak God's Word, and there's no unrighteousness in him. But if a man testify of himself, his witness is not true. So then when I preach to you the Word of God. As to the world, repentance. As to you, the unveiled Word of God, which is the revelation of the Son of God. In that the veil was rent at Calvary, I teach you
this wonderful revealed word, that you may see spirit and life, not a word of judgment and of death, but a word of spirit and a word of life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And when this word comes to you, it comes in a revelated form, that it might be spirit, not an intellectual concept of just hearing the word. By faith, we are saved because we hear the word, and faith cometh by the hearing of the word. But when the Holy Ghost begins to teach you, the Bible said they then are all being taught of God. And this wonderful word comes to you. The Bible said he sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and saved them. He created the world by his word. And this word is so great. It's so mighty. You can spend a lifetime reading and studying and enjoying this wonderful dimensional depths of the word. So then this word, I'm trying to teach you this word, so that you will understand, and if anybody crosses your path, that you won't be carried about by every wind of doctrine, but you'll be rooted and grounded in the truth, and you'll know this word, and you'll be children of the word, and the word will be made manifest to them by you, in that you will be the word made flesh. So then I tell you this word. See, in what I have said to you from time to time, doesn't it make sense if there's no law, there's no transgression? If there's no transgression, there is no sin, in that sin is the transgression of the law. Being dead to the law, how? By the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know that that was me that died at Calvary? And the Bible says, he that knew no sin was made my sin, even the sins of Brother Pike, that Brother Pike might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So then when Jesus died at Calvary, that was me dying in the sight of God. I am now therefore dead to the law by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been baptized into his death, and I have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said I'm to make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The Bible said if you are a friend to the world, you are the enemy of God. Why is it that you want to mess around, as I said the other night, with the things such as the flag, such as pledging the allegiance, and all of these other things? Why do you want to trouble your mind with those things? Somebody says, I respect America. I respect America too. But I respect the whole world. God didn't just make America. God made the whole world. Why are you choked off of America? Why don't you get God in your heart? Stop this foolishness. I was a child, I spake as a child. Them are children of the world. I was with the children of the world. I'm not of this world. I'm not of this world. Somebody would say, well, bless God, Brother Pike, you mean you're not of America? I ask you one question. Is America of the world? Let's give the Lord a hand. Let me tell you something. I died to America. I died to the rest of the world. I don't belong to the world. God doesn't have me down here in the world. He chose me out of the world. I'm not a friend of the world. The world loves its own. I belong to God. I don't have time with all of that childish stuff. Somebody said, well, I'm going to be patriotic. I'm going to vote and I'm going to do this. The Bible said God raises up one, God puts down another, God puts in the kings, God puts in the presidents, God does all of that. Somebody says, I know he does. But Brother Pike, we have to vote, we have to do all these things. That's fine, nothing wrong with it, that's good. Do whatever you want to. God prepares man's heart and they do vote people in, they vote people out. But the ones they vote in is what God wants in, and the ones they vote out is what God wants out. You can study the Old Testament and you'll find every king that God ever raised up. It was God that raised them up. And when they did evil, God took them out. Nobody had anything to do with it. God did it. God said, I raise up one, I put down another. God said, I rule in the affairs of men. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. Everything that's in this world, God handles it. Can evil come to a city and I've not seen it, saith the Lord? Can a storm come? Can a tornado come? Can a cyclone come? Can an epidemic come? Can wrecks be on the highway and plane crashes across the country? And God is not the one that allowed it. And God is not the one that brought it to pass. When these big jet liners crashed and multiplied, hundreds of people are killed. Did not God have his way in it? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that God crushed all those innocent people? Those people wasn't innocent. I've been on those planes. I travel all the time. They're like a bunch of drunks from the time they get on there till they get off. You can get almost anything on there but a Bible. They're continually serving whiskey and cursing and going on and doing the things that they want to do. And if you stay on it to ride overnight, it's just like they all go heathen about that time of night. That's why they crash. It's your iniquity that's doing it. God didn't crash the plane. The people crashed the plane by giving place to the devil and their drunkenness and the different things that they did. Well, anyway, I wasn't going to get to preaching too much in Holland, but I want you to understand that there's something that God is trying to do. The Lord is trying to reach you. He's trying to get your attention. Get your mind off of America. Get your mind off of the world. Get your mind off of the government. Get your mind off of the schools and the colleges. Get your mind off of the business. Get your mind off of money. Get your mind off of buying and selling and those kind of things. And the Bible said to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. To meditate in His laws day and night. Those people in the early church didn't have time to worry about all of those things. They were concerned about God. I don't have time to worry about all of those things. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, this is our beloved nation. And you're not concerned about it. No, you're the one that's not concerned. Sometimes I'm on my face all night long before God, praying that God will save and God will forgive and God will help and God will straighten out the government and God will straighten out our country and everything else. But I'm not foolish enough to run around after some governor or some president or fuss over the flag as to somebody burning a rag. I've got better things to do. And those things are to worship God and to talk to God. What are you going to do whining over somebody burning the flag? Is that going to do any good? Praying will do some good. When I call on God, God will do some good. Whether it's that flag or another flag or whatever kind of flag it is. God will give it to us. Nobody won't be burning it. Folks, let me tell you, someone will say, well, why is it burned, Brother Pike? It's because America has stooped down in iniquity. The sow has gone back to her wallowing in the mire, and the dog has returned to his vomit. And that flag says, Old Glory, as I said the other night, representing the stripes of his back. And because you've done the things you've done, mass murder in abortion and carrying those things, and being in the churches, and the churches filled with iniquity and infiltration, and you're not doing anything about it. Compassing land and sea, Jesus said, to make a proselyte twofold more the child of hell. Being religious and knowing nothing about God. That's why the flag is being burned. You've made a joke out of the flag. Why do you get upset with somebody for burning it? You're the ones that trampled on it. You're the ones that spit on it. You're the ones that cursed it. Somebody said, I didn't. You most assuredly did. The Bible said, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And when you sinned against God, you reproached the flag and the nation and everything, everything that stood for virtue. You reproached it. You're the ones that's to blame. Just like they said down in Egypt, when they wanted to beat them because they couldn't produce the way that Pharaoh wanted it. The people said, the fault is in your own hands. See, it's in your own self. We're doing all we know to do. See, and folks, when we get down to business with God and do all that we can do, then the Lord will undertake for us. And besides that, the thing remains that you are a nation of your own. You are a peculiar nation. Who then are you, Brother Pike? I'm an ambassador from heaven. God sent me into this world. And I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm from a foreign country, a foreign world that you know not of. If you'd have known of it, you'd have never crucified the Lord of glory. Somebody says, I didn't crucify him. The Bible said when you don't live right for God, that you crucify him, you put him to an open shame, a crucifixion of flesh. So then, I have a king. My king is Jesus. I have the Holy Ghost. He's my king, the Spirit of Christ. He's my tutor. He's my guide. He tells me to come out from among them and be a separate people, to touch not the unclean things, to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. And the world and the lust thereof passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I'm not supposed to go around loving the world, loving the flag, loving the government, loving the things of the world. I'm supposed to have my mind on God. I'm supposed to love God. I'm not supposed to stand up as a traitor against America or any other nation. I'm sent for the benefit of the people, but I'm not to be a fool and get mixed up with those kind of things out there. Jesus ate with the sinners and the publicans, but he didn't take part in those things. You don't find him troubling the government or troubling anybody else. You don't find Jesus anywhere as to trying to get into the governmental powers or whatever, or messing with them. Someone said, well, that's the way I believe it. Let the church stay out of politics. I agree with it. The church needs to stay out of politics. Pardon my expression, but politics stinks in the eyes of God. We don't need to get the stink on us. We need to stay clean. I do not speak evil of dignitaries, of great men that are great statesmen, nor of the ministry, nor of anything that is good, anything that is right. But these people that call them dignitaries of today, that are money-hungry animals, fame-crazy people, slit a man's throat for popularity, or to get the best end of the deal. God doesn't care for that. Said in the last days, men would despise government, which means God is for government. Good government. He's going to have a government. And he said concerning you and I that government would be upon our shoulders. They got the cart before the horse. They don't need them people out there running the government. They need the children of God running the government. Them people don't have enough understanding to even know how to save themselves. The Bible said, save yourself from this onward generation. They don't have enough understanding to even save themselves. It's up to you and I to be able to reach the ones that can be reached. So then, we're not to mix and mingle with them. It's a different thing for us altogether. We're to follow the Lord,
to walk in the ways of righteousness. I'm not going to entangle myself with the yoke of bondage of those things of the world. Let the world do what they want to. But let me follow Christ. And let me honor Christ. And let me do the thing I'm supposed to do in Christ. True dignitaries, let me honor them. Let me pray for them. The Bible said, honor the king. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man in that it's of God. Peter, go down. Catch the fish. Get the money out of his mouth. Pay the taxes, lest we offend them, even though we're citizens of another country. And they have no business taking taxes of us. But you go do it anyway. That way there'll be no offense, giving offense to nobody. But folks, we're not of this world. God has chosen us out of this world. He's hid us with Christ in God. The heavens have received us. And we're not in the flesh. And we're not in the world. And we cannot sin over and over. I keep magnifying this to you. We are free from the world. We are free from sin. We are free from the children of ignorance and darkness. We understand that we cannot sin because we must not bring sin up into the presence of God and in the eyes of God anymore. Away with sin. He doesn't want to hear about sin. Sin brings death. And God doesn't want death. Death is God's enemy. Man brought that death. God didn't bring death. Death is the enemy of God. And it brings to God's memory the great bereavements are being bereaved of his children. It's brought to him as to the sorrow of the missing ones. God doesn't want death. God hates death. Death is God's enemy. What mother here tonight appreciates death? I had a vision last night. In this vision, it was over in the nighttime. I saw a woman step to the restroom, which usually means as to Revelation, to go to rest as to the embalming room or whatever. And I looked, and just outside of the restroom there was a casket. And I knew in the vision, I was made to know that there was a woman fixing to die. So I know there's someone that's fixing to go out to meet the Lord. In the vision, the Lord made me to know that I and you, as he showed me some people, could go anytime. Life is uncertain, except God keep you. But this woman was to die. She was to die. Now, who appreciates death? Who appreciates death? Death is God's enemy. God doesn't want sin brought to his remembrance. Beloved children of God, you cannot sin. For the Bible said the seed of God remaineth in you. It stays in you. And you are born of God, and you cannot sin because you are born of God. Said, and in this, John said, and in this, we can see the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil. For the Bible said, he that sinneth is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. And Jesus was manifested to do away with the works of the devil. To destroy the works of the devil. Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. So then we see that sin is not of God. Then what is sin of? The devil. Who then sins? The children of the devil. That's right, say amen. See, it's the children of the devil that sins.
He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that sinneth is of the devil, because the devil sinned from the beginning, the Bible said. He was a liar. He still is a liar. He's a sinner. But children of God, you cannot sin, because sin is the transgression of the law. And where there's no law, there's no transgression. And though the law remains for the people of the world, yet it is done away with for you and your sake. And the law isn't there anymore. Now that makes you feel like dancing. You're talking about dancing, Pentecostal dancing. Now that'll get in your feet, that'll get in all over you. And that'll make you dance. You know, if I didn't try to hold my composure, to try to be as much like Jesus as I could, I'd be the most dancing evangelist in the world. Because it gets all over me, and I just feel like dancing like a wild Indian. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean, I just feel something bringing my feet up and putting my feet down. So then God doesn't want sin. God has brought us eternal life. Life in abundance, filled up and overflowing, the Bible says. So then sin is gone by Christ Jesus and shall never be brought to God's remembrance again. How can I work my way unto God? How can I be so foolish as to feel I must work my way unto God? I cannot work my way unto God. They said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the works, to believe on him that the Father has sent. For the works was finished from the foundation of the world. And this was given to you in Christ before the world ever was. So then Paul said, faith, needing no works, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, the faith by which you're sanctified. We were under the law. Shut up under the law as a tutor. That is to reveal our sins, to let us know right and wrong. Unto the faith, even the faith of Jesus Christ, by which you're sanctified. Now that the faith has come, Paul said, we therefore conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Without works, that is, because the law demanded works. So then we see God has done something for us, beloved friend. Something great and something mighty. God has done it for you and he's done it for me. And without respect to person. And another thing I'd like for you to think on. Just remember, how could it have been of works? When the Bible said that God so loved us while we were yet in our sins, that he gave his son to die for us. How could we have been doing any works? We were yet sinful when he saved us. Given to us in Christ, in the foreknowledge of God before the world ever was. Brought to light at Calvary, the Lamb slain in the knowledge of God, foreknowledge of God, elect according to foreknowledge we are. Then when Calvary came, and the veil was rent in twain. The great expose came. The great drama came when the curtain slipped back. And now it's revealed to you and revealed to me. Given to us in Christ before the world ever was, the Bible said. And then brought to light, understanding, revealed at Calvary. That he might be preached to the people down through the church ages. The great, wonderful abundance of mercy and life that God has given us in Christ. So we see what a great, mighty thing God has done. So great and mighty. So great, so mighty. Now the veil is rent in twain, which means that the body of the Lord Jesus, being subject to the law, is subject to the law no more. We have known him after the flesh. as to going to the cross in shame. But we know him after the Spirit, even the resurrected Christ, that is risen from the dead to die no more. For the Bible says, when he stood in the midst of the candlesticks, I once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. Folks, we're not playing games. We're talking about living. We're talking about staying away from the undertaker. Staying away from the trocar that they job into your body when they take you down to the funeral home. Speaking of reality, what Jesus has done. What has he done? Every individual sitting under the tent tonight, and every individual that'll hear my voice, you're going to die. You're going to die. They're going to put you in a hole, and the worms is going to eat you. You're going down to the local morgue somewhere, and they're going to slit your jugular vein and pull the blood out of it from the little child up to the grandmother. All of you are going the same way. Jacob, I go the way of all the earth, he said. Don't feel bad when your time comes. Everybody does it. Everybody does it. But folks, I got a word from heaven. And it tells me that if we'll believe and pray, that God is going to bring forth a generation that won't have to go by the way of the grave. He's going to do it. He said, Israel, why do you die? Why will you die, Israel? And the Bible said, you're the true Israel of God. You're the true Jew. Why do you want to die? Death is not my friend. I have no fellowship with death. You're the one that brought that on. Why don't you get away from that? Follow me. Follow me, Jesus said. Stay away from death. Don't bother with death and the things of the world. To be carnally minded is death. There is a curse on the world. All of those things are under the curse. They're cursed of God. Don't bother with them. When you bother with them, you get the curse. In the days of the prophets, when the little servant wouldn't listen to the prophet, he wanted the pretty things. He got them, but leprosy went with it. He also got leprosy, which was a type of sin in that day. Why do you want to die? Should you die? Going after the things of the world, will you trade life for the things of the world? When you can live, do the will of God, and have all the abundance of these things that you want? Would you, like Esau, sell your birthright for a morsel of bread? I don't want to do that. So then the veil was rent in twain at Calvary. The body was folded up and laid away because it had to do with the image of sin. And the life, the Christ, was taken out of that body. So the separation came between the Jesus and the Christ. And the body of sin was laid down. So today I'm free. And as Christ returned into that body, picked it up, took it and set it on the mercy seat, the blood-stained vesture, set it in the presence of the Heavenly Father, that his anger would be pacified, he'd never be upset anymore. Because as the writer said, my sins are gone. There in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Glory to God, I believe that. I believe that. That's where strength comes from. When you believe that, you get strength and abundance of joy and glory. When you believe that. So then, somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Children of the resurrection, let the redeemed say so. When the veil was rent in twain, the Bible said, and he hath made a new way to God. That is to say, of his own flesh,
and the rending of the body that was bruised more than any man's body. And the Bible said never was a man's countenance marred the way his countenance was marred. They plucked his beard, no doubt tore the skin, plucked him in the side and all over and in the head and in the hands and in the feet and plowed his back like a field. Great for us. And he was bruised for mine iniquities. And the chastisement of my peace was upon him, by whose stripes I'm healed, both physically and spiritually. So then, the veil was rent in twain. But that spirit returned. Once it went away, like the dove out of the ark, coming back like with the leaf of life. Entered into that body, picked that body up, took that body to the right hand of the Heavenly Father, set it on high on the seat of atonement. And then, as one would say goodbye to the loved ones, he hurried back down. And if you would come in a search, he said, "Where is Brother Pike?" And he was looking for a house to live in. And when I heard about it, I said, "Oh my God, come over to my place." Like Brother Branham said just before he passed away, he said, "If I ever return, Brother Pike, I'll come to your place." So I said, "Oh Lord, come to my place." And he came and he entered in. And he's living in there today. Aaron, the high priest, in the tabernacle. The intellectual wondering is the tabernacle in the wilderness. He's in there officiating. He's the high priest of my confession. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, that makes me feel like crying. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus. How wonderful you really are. And you think about him. And you go to press your death pillar. Have you ever had a battle with death? I've had battles with death. For I overcome death. I saw the vision where I was standing in this restroom. And I was standing there. And all of a sudden I started out. And just as I started out, I looked and there stood a tall man at the door. So real it was. And I couldn't get out. He was between me and my freedom. And I looked. He was a tall, slender fellow, very grave looking, had his hair slicked back tight against his head. And he stood there in the doorway. He stood there looking straight at me. And I thought, this man may harm me. I've got to get past him. He's so grave looking, almost as if he was dead, and yet he's standing there. I thought, I don't know what to do. The vision was so plain. And all of a sudden, I said, I know what I'll do. I'll take a running start, and I'll run right in him, and I'll knock him clear out of the way. And I stepped back about like that, or whatever I did, you know. And I took me a running start. And when I did, I went to hit him. And when I did, he became a hooded figure. And I saw death. He was death. And I thought, oh my God, death has come after me. And as I ran right into him, into the hood, and into death. And the vision went away. Trouble, I couldn't understand it. But it was about that time that one night I was laying on my bed, and I must have died. I told the people about it because something happened to me, and I found myself in a long hallway. I went like as from my bed through a wall and then found myself in this long corridor running this way, and way down the end it made a turn, and I found myself down there. And I was walking in this hallway, and I knew that I had died. I knew that I'd passed over the boundaries of the world. And I was in there. And as I walked a long way. I got down to the end of it. When I got down to the end of it, I started to make the turn, getting darker. And all of a sudden, somebody walked out from there. And I thought, oh my God, that's Jesus. You know, it goes all through me, even when I talk about it right now. And he come out and he looked right straight at me and met me as I started to turn the corner. I thought, that's Jesus. I'm dead. And that's Jesus. And he looked at me and I could just see what he was saying, you know. Within he was saying, turn around, go back. Ah, let me tell you something, folks. You don't know how to love him. You don't know how to appreciate him yet. Wait till death comes after you. And wait till you clutch your pillow when you're dying. Then it'll become real to you. And you'll see what he did for you. So then I turned and I went back. And I began to walk again back in this direction. And as I began to walk, I found myself right back at the same spot where I was when I come through the wall. And I stopped. And I said, well, I'm back where I started, but I don't know how to get through that wall. I thought, well, I can't get through that wall. Then I thought, yes, I can. Yes, I can. I can get through that wall. Something come over me. I said, by faith in the name of Jesus, I'll go through that wall. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, I ran through the hooded figure from the restroom. I said, I'll go through there. And I tried to muster up my strength, and I didn't have no strength. All my strength was gone. I thought, I don't have any strength. I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? And something says, call on the name of Jesus. And I said, I can. I will. He'll give me strength. And something began to come over me. And I said, I'll break through there. And with all of my might, I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, I plowed through that wall. Hallelujah! That's what we've done. Jesus did it for us. He's turned us around. And we plowed through the wall of death. And you can't die anymore. And I found myself back into my room and laying on my bed, and I was wide awake. I thought, oh my God, oh my God, I've died. I went over the boundaries of the world, and I come back. I come back. That's what the vision was showing. So then, through him, we've conquered death. We've conquered death. The veil has been rent in twain, which means that if your body, of his body, as to bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, then the veil of your temple has been rent in twain. And your spirit is now separated from your body. Your body went to sleep and they buried it in a watery grave in the name of Jesus. Your spirit went back to God who gave it. And if it went back to God who gave it, it's in heaven because God dwells in heaven. So your angelic being tonight is hid with God, sealed with the Holy Spirit. You can never sin. It can never die. And this body is already asleep, as we say, dead, as you say, by the body of Jesus. So it's all over and you made it. And everything is fine. And we're just waiting around. Waiting around. Someone would say, well, what are we waiting for, Brother Pike? Waiting for the resurrection of the body. The body is asleep. Waiting for the Lord to wake it up. We're going to return in Revelation 19 and wake those bodies up. And we, if we remain till his coming, will be changed. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And those bodies will come out of the grave. The saints departed from. And you, it's the same with you. Your body will suddenly be changed because it's also dead. And your spirit will return into that body. Right now you're dead,
The world says, why don't you do what I do? How can you do that? You're dead to the world. Dead to the world. Oh, somebody says, no, Brother Pike. Now I buy, I sell, I get gain, I go, I've got money, I'm going to have a career. I got all these plans, all these programs to be a dignitary. Who knows what I might be president? As someone told me not too long ago, his ambition was to be president. But the Bible said you're dead to the world. You are dead to the world. Folks, let me clear this up. Because I cannot sin and you cannot sin, does that mean that we do not make mistakes? Of course we make mistakes. We stumble, we stagger, but we don't have a conscience of sin. We're not even conscious of it because we're dead. And there is no consciousness as to sin, like we would say conscious of life. I'm conscious of eternal life. That sinful body, in it dwelt no good thing, is gone now. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then it's not active in the world. But when God brings in the millennium and your spirit returns back into your body, you'll be active in the world, the God world, the millennium world. God so loved the world, that is in its virginity state before it fell into sin, that he gave his own son to redeem it, to bring it back to that condition. See, we're hid away right now. Hid away. So then, I make mistakes. What does the world call it? You sin just like I sin. I saw you make that mistake. And so it is. John said, beloved, if any man sin, said he hath an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous, which is the perpetuation for our sin. So then you make your mistakes, but there's no will, there's no desire, there's no conscience, nothing that makes you want to do that. If there's anything that makes you want to do that, you're not born again. You're not born again. There's nothing that makes you want to take part in the world. If you have the love of the world in you, then you don't have the love of the Father. Come on, folks. You don't have the love of the Father. If you have the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, you don't have the love of the Father. But when you're born again, all that gets out of you. God takes that out of your system. So then we stumble, we stagger, we make our mistakes. But folks, has nothing to do with it at all. That body's dead. It's gone. It's buried. God doesn't see that. It's gone. He sees the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Way over here. Way over here in the end. Revelation 19 coming back. Thessalonian the chains. He sees us. The Thessalonian chains. He sees it. So then, the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and then we who are alive and remain at his coming shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For he shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we'll be changed, caught up to meet him, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Console the brethren with the saying, the Bible says. So then we realize that the veil has been rent in twain. And your body has been folded up and laid away. And at death your spirit went back to God who gave it. Thou then, ye are they that dwell in heaven. Rejoice forevermore, ye that dwell in heaven. He that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. You've never had a spot. You've never had a blemish. Somebody says, I was so dirty, and he washed me from my sins. That is true, he did. He did it before you was ever born into the world. The lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Satan has never been able to touch you. You know why? Because to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. But you didn't know to do good. So it could not be accounted for as sin before you came to the Lord Jesus, though you were very guilty. You understand what I'm saying? And then when you did get a knowledge of God and you did know to do right, you immediately was born again. So you didn't do wrong then. So he's never touched you. Never in your life has he ever touched you. You're God's bride. Do you think Jesus would take a bride that had been defiled? She's a virgin. She's a virgin. Chaste virgin. Paul said, I'd like to present you unto God as chaste virgins. And if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. She's beautiful. Her light is most precious. We sing that song, ready for the bridegroom to come. Folks, he's the Word. He's the Word. Are you really ready for him to come? Would you know him if he come? They didn't know him in the days when Jesus walked on the earth. They didn't know him. The Bible said, had they known it was the Lord of glory, they wouldn't have done that. Would you recognize him if he come? And at the well, the woman said, I know that Messiah comes. I know he's coming. And the way she was going to recognize him, she said, I know when he cometh, he'll tell us all things. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. So then we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things, understand all things. Christ is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Ye are his body, members in particular, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I want you to stand with me because we've got so much more to say tonight. But I know that we've got to close. It's getting late. Will you be ready at the midnight cry? How far away is the midnight cry? How far away is it? Will you be ready? You know, like I tell David Paul a lot of times, I don't know any reason to live if you're not going to serve God. Because there's nothing out there to live for. All that's death. So I wouldn't know how to live except to live for God. That's joy unspeakable and full of glory. All of these things of the world will pass away. But beloved friend, he that doeth the will of God shall never die. He shall never pass away. But he shall live forever. Through the eternal ages, the songwriter said, I'll live on. So then tonight, why did you come to church? Why are you under the tent tonight? What is your interest in following after God or listening to preachers or gathering together, as we say, with a congregation? What is your reason? Everybody's got a reason for what they do. What is your reason? Preaching. Maybe tomorrow. We're just planning to have one service, the afternoon service. Hope you can be here. But maybe tomorrow we might make mention of the body, the dispute over the body. We preached on this some. See, this is what it's all about. It is the bride that Jesus is interested in. It is the body, which is the woman, the feminine part. That's what was lost in the garden. And that's what Adam has pursued, is the body. That's what the church is the body. The spiritual being on the inside are the sons of God that marry the church, even the body, as a man taketh to himself a wife. Collectively speaking, all together, we are the sons of God because we are members in particular of the body of the Son of God. In God's sight, we're sons of God. But in Jesus' sight, we're members of his body. A man and his wife is one, no longer twain, but one flesh. Which means we're his bride. So then, I want to go on to a full reward, don't you? I'm following God for a reason, for a purpose. Not playing a religious game. Come out from
among them. Come out from the world. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things. And I'll receive you, saith the Lord. But the body, there's a dispute over it as to who it belongs to. Someone says, well, I know it belongs to God. It is true that some bodies belong to God. Some bodies belong to the devil. Even though God created humanity, they defile the temple God has to destroy. He's turned them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. But your temple is to be preserved because you're his body and bone and flesh. So there's a difference between the devil and God. There's a great dispute. It was settled at Calvary. Satan can't accept it, but one day he will. And there's a dispute over the body as to who you and I belong to. That's when the angel said, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan, over the body of Moses. So then let's search your heart tonight and see who we belong to. If we sin, then are we the children of the devil? And our body belongs to the devil for destruction. But if we do not sin, if we live holy, then is our body of God, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, children of the resurrection, the body. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? We sing that chorus so many times. I love him. I love him. So let's sing it together. I love him. Love him all because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Sing it with me now. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Do you love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Okay, we're going to sing this little song called There's Room at the Altar for You.
Oh, there's room at the cross for you.
That's the real altar.
Oh, there's room at the cross for you.
And although many has come, yet there's still room for one.
And there's room at the altar for you.
Can you sing one more time?
Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing it with me like this now. At the cross, where we first saw the light and the burdens of our heart roll away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. For at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. The altars are open if you'd like to come. Now I am happy all the day. Oh, I need Thee, Lord. We need Thee every hour. We need Thee. We need Thee now, precious Savior. Lord, how I need Thee. Can you sing that with me? Don't turn Him away. Oh, don't turn Him away. For He has come back to your heart once again. So let Him in to stay. Can you sing that with me? For oh, how you'll need Him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, listen to Jesus and hear His sweet voice. And don't turn Him away. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet Savior. Sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. Can you sing this with me? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest that may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing that one? You love the Lord?
Amen.
How wonderful. How wonderful. We're going to sing that little chorus. Wonderful. Tonight, we're going to pray for the sick. Tomorrow evening, if the good Lord's will happens, we're going to pray for the sick. And tonight, if there's anybody that would like to be prayed for, if you'll come believing tonight, really genuinely believing,
hallelujah,
then God will heal you or deliver you of evil spirits.
You say, but I can't, Brother Pike, I can't believe that. I know that. That's why you don't get healed. See, you should believe that. You have to believe. Someone would say, well, I just can't grasp the fact that if I believe that I'm going to be healed. But Jesus said, according to your faith. Isn't that right? When the man was healed over there at the temple, it says, and his faith. By his faith, he stands before you whole.
Amen.
And when people was healed, Jesus said, and thy faith hath made thee whole. Someone would say, oh no, Brother Pike. Jesus made him whole. I know he made him whole. God sent his word and healed him, which was Jesus, the word made flesh. But the word can only reach you through faith. For the Bible said many mighty works he could not do, even the word, because of their unbelief. So it was by their faith that they were made whole. By their faith. So then God is to you whatever you believe him to be. Whatever you can believe him to be. Even to the extent that the Bible said, if thou canst say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt but believe in your heart that those things which you say shall come to pass, ye shall have whatsoever ye say. Like the vision I had when I told you I was walking along. Just walking along, David, Paul, and I, and some of us were just coming off of the Dove. Been out to sea for several days. Was real tired. Food given out. Kind of scrounging around just to get a bite to eat on the ship because the food was given out. We came in and found a dock. Now went into this marina that had a cross out front. Sister Betty met me and we separated for several days. She went around the motorhome. We traveled by sea and I had a vision, and you remember the vision I told you that I was walking along, and I felt something beside me, and I could tell it was walking. Every step I took, it took walking along beside me. And I thought, my God, what is this? What is this? And I thought, I'll turn and I'll see. And as quick as a flash, I turned, but not fast enough. Quicker than a flash, he went into my inner being. And I said, oh my God, this is so awesome. Oh my God. And then I realized it was Jesus the Christ. It was Christ.
Amen.
That went on the inside, and I heard a voice speak to my innermost being, said, be careful now what you say. Said, whatever you say, said, it'll happen. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will, I'll do it. And so I said, oh my God, this is so awesome. And that's when I looked over at the bridge that we came under with the ship, and I said, oh my God, Lord, if I even say to that bridge, be there gone. He won't. I said, oh my God, I done said it. I caught myself like that. I said, oh my God, I done said it. I done told the bridge to leave. And today they done away with the use of that bridge. Immediately following that, after the many, many years of the bridge being there, they built a super bridge. From this side for a number of miles across to the other side. Whatever I've asked God to give me, he has given it to me. Planes, boats, houses, land, money. Whatever it has been that my heart has desired as to, he just give it to me till my cup runs over. Always it runs over. Even until this day. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. So then tonight, if you desire anything of God, deliverance from evil spirits, deliverance from oppression of mind, healing of the body. Don't be of a doubtful mind. Come up here tonight. We'll pray and believe with you. And God will heal you and God will deliver you. And you'll be able to go your way and enjoy the wonderful blessings of God. God's doing it all around the world. All around the world. The songwriter said, and Jesus came. And that's what made it all right. And Jesus came. While we sing another little chorus together, we're going to sing this song. It's called Have Faith in God.
Have faith in God.
Can you have faith in God?
Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Have faith in God.
Is there something you desire tonight?
Have faith.
That's what camp meeting is for, the hour of deliverance.
Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God.
If thou canst believe, Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. Jesus did great things. He made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. And they said he doeth all things well. God heals cancer. He does away with heart conditions. He does away with oppression of mind. Evil spirits have to flee away when you start believing. And the ministry is here for the perfecting of your faith and to help you to believe, to put their faith with your faith, and to help you have a wholesome life. Jesus said to have life abundantly, filled up and overflowing. This is my purpose in coming into the world. This is my purpose. That you may have abundance of life. God is the Spirit of life. Ministers in the world today may preach many things, but a true minister of God will preach one thing, and that's life. That God has given you all things that pertain unto life, because that's what the ministry is about. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundant, filled up and overflowing. Even David said, my cup runs over. So tonight the ministry is for one purpose, and that's to preach life in abundance to you, that you may have life and that more abundantly. So then we're moving from life to greater life, than greater life, than greater life. Even life in this world can be wonderful, though it's few days and full of trouble as to things in the world. But yet we're moving from that to a greater life, a greater life. And on we go to great, wonderful abundance of living. Great life. Life in abundance. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Don't you want life in that body? Don't you want it abundantly? Don't you want health, happiness? Never die. Live on and on.
When the world's on fire, I'll live on. When the world's on fire, I'll live on. When the world's on fire, God will give me my desire. When the world's on fire, I'll live on. Yes, I'll live on.
on.
I'll live on.
Yes, I'll live on.
Though the great oak may die, I'll live on. I'll live on and on. I'll live on. When the world's on fire, will.
One more time.
When the world's on fire, we'll live on.
Yes, we'll live on.
When the world's on fire, we'll live on.
Yes, we'll live on.
When this world's on fire, will give me my desire. Though the world's on fire, but I'll live on.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Sheep of his pasture. You're his sheep. You're the apple of his eye.
Hallelujah.
We're going to sing another little chorus. As we sing, I want my ministers to step up if they will. Our minister brethren. And pray. Folks, believe with us tonight. Believe with us tonight. It's not a game. Believe with us. Jesus died that you might have happiness and joy. Peace, joy unspeakable and full of glory. To have all of the blessings of life. To make all of your bed in the time of your sickness, as I said the other night. To make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. To feed you with the heritage of Jacob.
Hallelujah.
To make you rich with his blessing. And to add no sorrow. To give you the desires of your heart if you'll delight yourself in him. You love the Lord? Jimmy, come up here with me, son. Don't stand out there. Come up
Hallelujah.
Here. Come on, Jim. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Brother Jimmy Kirk, one of the greatest men I ever knew.
Lord
greatly
God.
Responsible for these erections as a monument of praise reaching around the world. The buildings and whatever.
Hallelujah.
Hard labor, putting works with his faith. All right. Let's sing this little chorus. Just give me a key.
Where the healing waters flow and the joy celestial glow. Oh, there's peace, there's rest and love. Where the waters flow.
Sing it with me.
Where the healing waters flow.
Can you pray for the sick, brethren? Can you come up and pray, Father?
Celestial Lord, and there's peace, there's joy and love. Where the healing waters flow. Where the healing waters flow, and where the joy celestial glows. Oh, there's peace, there's rest and love. Where the healing waters flow.
All right, Brother Taylor's going to play the organ, Sister Dale. Going to come and stand proxy tonight so that we can pray for them. As for all of the children, Sister Betty desires this tonight. One more time.
Where the healed waters flow.
Can you sing it?
And the joy celestial flow. Oh, there's peace, there's rest and love. Where the healing waters.
Sing it again.
Where the healing waters flow. And the joy celestial glow. Oh, there's peace. There's rest and love. Where the healing waters flow.
One more time.
Where the healing waters flow, and the joy celestial glow, and there's peace, there's rest and love. where the healing waters flow.
While they're praying tonight, let's sing another little chorus, can we? Hallelujah.
Oh, I love that man of Galilee. He hath done so very much for me, forgiven me all of my sin, placed the love of God within. And oh, I love oh, I love that man from Galilee. He hath done so very much for me, forgiven me all of my sin, placed the Holy Ghost within. And oh, I love that man from Galilee. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures, they're laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world.
Sing it with me.
Oh, Lord, you know that I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me, heaven's open door, and I cannot feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. Well, I fixed it up with Jesus so many long years ago. And if I follow him, he'll surely take me through. I'm on my way to heaven, nothing else to do. Oh, Lord, you know that I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what can I do? For the angels beckons to me from heaven's open door, that I cannot feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know that I have no friend like you. If heaven is not my home, then Lord, what can I do? The angels beckons to me from heaven's open door, and I cannot feel at home in this world anymore.
One more time.
For, oh Lord, you know that I have no friend like you. And if heaven is not my home, then Lord, what can I do? The angels beckons to me from heaven's open door, and I cannot feel at home in this world anymore. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angels stand on the sea and the land and time.
Can you sing that with me tonight? Lift up your hands, close your eyes.
For time shall be no more, no more. Time shall be no more. angel, he'll stand on the sea and land and time shall be. We'll sing it one more time now. Oh, time shall be no more,
no more.
Rang time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land and time. Just one more time together. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land and time. Can we sing it together one more time?
No more.
For time shall be no more,
no more,
and time shall be. On the sea and the land, and time shall be no more.
With your eyes closed, your hands lifted up to heaven, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting, to praise the Lord, to praise the Lord. How beautiful. Praise is so comely for the upright, to praise the Lord. Remember, Jesus loves you. You're the apple of his eye. And don't forget, tomorrow evening, the Lord's will, about 2:30, we'll be gathering back here. Trust that it won't be so hot under the tent. Pray the Lord keep you a little cool. But come and be with us. Tomorrow morning, we'll let you sleep in. We'll have the morning service. But if anybody happens to come, tell them to stay around. We've got a snack stand. We'll help provide for them to eat and drink and a place to rest if they like to lay down. And then we're going to have service tomorrow. As Brother Taylor sang, there'll be meeting on the old campground. So then, you that love the Lord, remember those things and pray for the service tomorrow. Turn our service back to our brother David Paul with your hands lifted up to heaven and your eyes closed. God bless our ministers that have come in this service, these services. God bless them. God help them. God enlighten them. God meet their needs in every way of them. Their little families. God open doors to them around the world to take this wonderful gospel into all the world for witness. Work with us. Work with us. We're trying to work with the ministries and trying to help any way we can to do whatever we can. So work with us. And as the song says, keep saying in your heart, walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. As you walk with Jesus, Heavenly Father, walk with me. All along this pilgrim journey, walk with me, Lord. Follow Jesus, said, wherever I am, there are my disciples to be also. Following his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Let us go on to perfection, to a full reward.